Moncrief on News Talk.
One of the problems with talking about climate change is that it can be a bit of a switch off. Not that most people don't accept it as true, it's just that it often turns out to be the same depressing message over and over again. The challenge is to find new ways of talking about it, and in perhaps in places where you wouldn't expect, such as OnlyFans. Jessica Riches is an OnlyFans creator and writer of a series of web videos entitled Headline Nudes. Jessica, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Hi, thanks for having me.
So describe the films that you've made.
Okay, I can do that. So the films are a series of short videos, less than 90 seconds long, that feature OnlyFans creators, so very beautiful women, talking about climate issues in a way that people might not usually hear climate issues being talked about. And they're very funny. We made them in partnership with Adam McKay's production company, Adam McKay being the director of Anchorman and The Big Short and Don't Look Up. But they just happen to have beautiful women explaining these quite complex and often boring, as you said, subjects.
Yeah. And what kind of issues are addressed in it?
So in this series that we're about to launch, we've got one on microplastics and how they're in absolutely everything, specifically focused on male sexual health. Then we have one on the wet bulb, the wet bulb temperature, which is the temperature at which it's difficult for the body to handle humidity and heat. See, when I'm saying this, it sounds so boring. That's why you need the videos to explain it.
There's one about banks and what banks are profiting from fossil fuels, but that features a dominatrix whacking a guy on the ass while she's talking about it.
Well, actually, that's me. I'm the guy.
But the pig head. I assumed it was a man. Yeah, that's true.
No, I used a man's voice, but it was me as the stand-in, which was very fun. I loved a cameo on these films.
Right. Okay. And so have you put a lot of thought into? We're going to talk about that issue in climate change and then the depiction of it.
Yeah, it's really about finding the balance between those two things, because obviously this kind of thing doesn't work if you lean too much into the sexy or too much into the science or too much into the funny. It kind of has to be a combination of all of those things. So the talent that we work with and the team behind this, we all have different backgrounds. So we sort of have conversations about it's quite easy when you think we all make innuendos and stuff all of the time. It's quite a normal way to communicate with each other. So if we're talking about climate issues and something naturally comes up, so for example, the banks one you mentioned, we just came up with the name Spank Banks because that's a commonly used terminology when it comes to
not exactly but I see where you're going with it. Yes.
And obviously there's so much stuff you could do with hotter and wetter and stickier when it comes to extreme weather caused by climate change. So they're it's kind of quite low-hanging fruit, some of the humor, but then it's about bringing the science in a way that is entertaining. Yeah. And then the talent makes it engaging.
Yeah, I suppose there's always a danger that if it's too funny, the message gets lost. If it's too sexy, the message people might find it distracting if, you know, there's a scantily clad woman or a no-clad woman telling them about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that we've had to really be careful about that. And I think that's been actually, I would say, like probably the hardest part of the process of making them is to not kind of put too many people off or overwhelm people. But ultimately, I do think that at the bare minimum, people who have never really thought about climate change more than, oh, that's happening and there's nothing I can do about it, which is, I think, a really common understanding at the moment, and it's not true. If they see kind of different messengers talking about climate in different places, it might just switch something on in their brain to be more receptive. So even if they don't take in all of the information in these 90 seconds, we do have a lot of people who watch them more than once, which I don't think I can say for most climate videos I've made. I think it's just getting people to not scroll past is step one. Yeah. When it comes to working in climate.
And in the videos, are you telling people things that they can do?
We try to do that in some videos. There's a bit of a mix. So my personal opinion when it comes to climate issues, and actually most issues to do with extreme concentration of wealth and power, which are causing all of the problems in our society, are that there are very few things individuals can actually do to make change at the scale that we need. And if someone's struggling with the cost of living crisis, not being able to pay their bills, the last thing I want to do is say to them, you should be recycling. You should be turning every single light off, when actually the problem is the relationship between governments and the companies that pay for the policies that they want to see, which we've obviously seen in fossil fuels for a long time. We're seeing now with AI and big tech and data centers, all part of the same problem. So what I'm really trying to do in my work and with this series in particular is show people that those things are great. If you can go vegan, absolutely go vegan. If you can recycle and that makes, that's okay for you, those things definitely make a big difference. But they also ripple up to policy impact, which is where we need to see. So it's kind of thinking more on a systems level rather than an individual change level, but just letting people know it's definitely possible to change systems in a way that can save the planet in time.
Mm. Now, The videos aren't just on OnlyFans. So have you made different, more PG versions to go on other platforms?
Well, it's actually quite interesting that you asked that. So yeah, we have the videos on OnlyFans and we have versions for Instagram, but they're pretty much the same. The main difference is on Instagram, we're probably not going to show you feet because you have to pay to get feet. Lots of creators
feet?
I know. It's like the world of fetishes blows my mind every time I hear about it.
And on Instagram is like, you know, if you show feet, they'll take down the video or something.
It depends if the fetish community gets hold of it. This is all very new to me. This is not my career path. I'm a climate communicator who joined OnlyFans to talk about climate crisis. I've learned a lot from all of my friends who are OnlyFans creators. And they blur out their feet, not necessarily because it's like against the platform conditions, although crazy things are against the platform terms and conditions. I had no idea. But it's more because their feet are valuable assets to people who want to look at them. So it makes people go to their OnlyFans channel, which I think is a great business model.
Isn't it just? Now, but would some of the people you're working with, would they be, if you like, feet specialists anyone be one?
I mean, I'm sure that there are. I think a lot of people, when they think about, I should join OnlyFans, they think I'll just get away with showing pictures of my feet and not having to show my face. But actually, it is a lot more about the relationship that you build with people. Like, it's very difficult to be an OnlyFans creator. Like, they are like legendary, the amount of like energy that they put into the relationships they build with their fans. But I don't know anyone who is specifically a foot person, but we do have a very interesting and funny video about carbon footprints coming out in this series, which is an explainer of what a carbon footprint really is.
But you can't show a foot when you're doing that. That's going to be challenging.
I think we're going to blur out the feet for that one. We haven't decided yet, but it's a good conversation starter. You know, all of this gets us engagement.
OnlyFans, the platform, are they particularly pushed about this one way or the other?
I mean, I think that they have their own business model and that works, but they do have access to a huge amount of talent that has, we're in a world where the kind of relationship you have with your listeners, probably, where we are creating that individuals at scale with their own platforms now, and that's being used to communicate all sorts of messages. And I think that OnlyFans and other networks such as like Substack or Patreon, who are creating these really parasocial relationships, would be kind of in their sensible space to be promoting different ways of using those. So OnlyFans, we haven't worked directly with them, but they've been very supportive from the conversations that we've had.
Right. Okay. And the fans of the individual content creators you're working with, are those fans, how are they reacting to this? I imagine some of them might be, oh, shut up, just get your clothes off kind of thing. Is there a bit of that?
I mean, I was really expecting more of that, I have to say. I was thinking that was going to be a lot of it and it was going to work mainly as a publicity stunt, but you'd be surprised. So I obviously only started my account to talk about climate change when we started this campaign, but my inbox is filled with messages of people who are talking to me about how they don't really know what to do, or they're genuinely scared, or they're angry at the corruption that's trickling down, not just to do with climate change, but in all of those other areas where it shows that there's a small group of elite wealthy people who are making life really difficult for the rest of us. And having a space for those conversations isn't that different to the types of kind of intimate connection that you'd usually see on OnlyFans anyway. So I definitely have really had none of that shut up and get your boobs out, which I was expecting so much more of. It's been really welcoming. And I think it's because something we all have in common is that we are not really, we're kind of victims of this crisis. Like, it's like we all participated in the lifestyle at certain points, but that's a lifestyle that was fed to us by corporations who have been lying to us about the impacts of their businesses for a very long time.
Yeah. And the content creators you're working with, they're not doing it for the money. Are they making any money out of this? Or?
Well, I don't think that content creators need to worry about that, because it's a very lucrative industry that if they do it well, which they're all so talented, you just wouldn't believe the amount of work that goes into it. So everyone that we've worked with, we've reached out to lots of people who haven't replied to us, who are really famous content creators, and that's fine. They've decided that it's something that they don't need to engage with. But with everyone we've worked with, they've all brought like a really personal reason that they are kind of interested in working with climate. So one person studied geography at university and did her dissertation on something related to climate crisis. One person is absolutely fascinated by microplastics and removing them from her body. And those people bring a really unique experience to this. And it's also part of, I think people who are in the position where they are content creators are very connected to just like the general realities of the day-to-day human existence, way more than kind of corporations and big brands are. So they understand like that this is part of a wider issue. But we do pay our talent like we pay any crew member on set.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I can see why maybe some people you might have asked to get involved don't want to get involved, because they might be worried that it, like the conversation we've just had for the last 5 minutes, it's not exactly sexy in any respect. And that
I mean, I beg to disagree.
But it might undermine, you know, like the main, you know, selling point, so to speak.
I think so. And I think also sometimes people do go to places like OnlyFans and social media even to escape the realities of the world. And so depending on the different relationships people have with their communities, they know their fans really well, very different to any other form of kind of content creation, really. So yeah, it's completely, it doesn't even mean that they don't care about climate if they didn't want to be involved, but they have to be business people who have to find a way to pay their bills and provide a good service to their community in this difficult time.
Yeah. Well, Jessica, it's a fascinating idea, and the best of luck to you with that. You've made one series, you're going to make a second one, as I understand.
We've made one series which came out in April, May, and then we just announced a second series with Lily Phillips starring, which is why everyone's talking about it now, and it's coming out hopefully sometime in September. We'll be dropping a couple of episodes every week.
Okie dokie. Jessica, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Jessica Riches there, who is the writer of that series, Headline Nudes.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.